a radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's the Paul Gallant Show.
Pauly G Show. He's the best in Houston.
Houston's most interactive sports talk show.
Hey, how's it going, Paul?
Oh, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
The most interactive sports talk show in town. The Rockets need a closer. I don't think they're going to get that closer by the end of this series. I don't think somebody's about to have their dramatic final ascent to Super Saiyan-dom or something like that. Paul, did you really just make a Dragon Ball Z reference to open the third hour of the show? Yeah, I did. I don't see that happening for Jalen Green. I don't see that happening for Alperen Şengün. I don't see it happening for Amen Thompson. And it is a shame. They could still theoretically win this series, but I think Saturday, more than anything, just exposed the limitations of this current roster, which is a fun one, which is a team that plays hard, which is a team that under Ime Udoka has clearly, I think, figured out what accountability is. But when you're just missing easy shots and playing a team that is without its second-best player, that's still getting 33 points off the bench from role players and Buddy Hield, Gary Payton Jr., for God's sake. Like, that's who you're losing to in addition to Steph. And I can take Steph getting Steph points. But, okay, people are doing all they can to stick with Steph and force the ball away from him. But the guys away from Steph can make shots. Why can't any Houston Rocket make a shot? That's really what I'm struggling with today. So if you want to weigh in on that, 713-780-3776 to call to text, on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975. The Astros over the weekend played the Kansas City Royals, a playoff team in the American League. And the offense, at least on Friday and on Saturday, been seeing a lot of that this year, haven't we? The offense that just disappears for stretches. No runs in two games. Isak Paredes was the only guy who got you really anything on Friday and Saturday. Friday, you had just three hits. Paredes had two of them, one of them a double. And then on Saturday, same thing. You're getting a lot of these same issues from Christian Walker. It feels like every other day it's a three-strikeout game for him, or at least a two-strikeout game. And while yesterday was fun to watch offensively, it's clearly the strength of the Astros is their pitching. Because Fromber went the full eight on Saturday. Hayden Wesneski gave up a lot of hits on Friday, but only the two earned runs. Hunter Brown, though, you know, after getting through all the negative from a weekend where the Astros lost two of three, it's looking more and more like he's got a chance to win the Cy Young Award in addition to being the American League Player of the Month for the month of April. Because Hunter yesterday went six innings. He had nine strikeouts. He did allow seven hits, but just one earned run, one walk. I mean, right now he's playing better than any athlete in Houston. Not a high bar right now because no one on the Astros is hitting particularly well. No one on the Rockets is shooting particularly well. And the Houston Texans offensively haven't really looked to themselves in quite some time. But you know, we talked about who are the stars of Houston sports, and Hunter Brown has definitely made himself one of them. Well, I think right now, this is not debatable. Hunter Brown is the best athlete in the city of Houston on today, April 28th, 2025. I think he now has the third best odds to win the American League Cy Young Award after going into the season at plus 2,500. And if you go all the way back to last year, at the end of the month of April, after he'd shaken off that awful performance that he had against the Royals, I mean, you could make a case he's been the best pitcher in the American League if you want to. I'd imagine there'd be other people up there that he's competing with, and I'm not going to actually go and do the actual Scooble. Work. Yeah.
Scooble's pretty good.
Old Tarek.
Yeah.
Tarek Scooble.
I remember. Remember when we made fun of his name for
we did.
The entire show, and then,
the
Astro season ended? 36 hours later.
By the way, that's what the Astros are about to play.
Yeah.
The little Revenge. Detroit Tigers.
Revenge.
Is vengeance on the line. Avenge me! it will be interesting to see them going up against Detroit. Detroit's off to a good start this year. They're, at least for April, showing that last year was no fluke. It's weird, though, to think of a world where the Detroit Tigers are legit. I still can't take them seriously, even though they took the Astros down in a two-game series last year in the playoffs. I don't know what it is about them. They have the most wins in the American League, the Tigers. 18-10. They've won four games in a row. So, pretty difficult opening month for the Astros, and it's going to get a little more tough these next three games. And, hey, good for Hunter Brown. Again, I think there's a strong case to be made that he is currently the best athlete in the city of Houston. We'll see what the Astros do these next three at Daikin Park against the Tigers.
Is Josh Hader might be number two.
Yeah, I think so to this point.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Number three.
Two Astros to lead off the list.
Number three, Jabari Smith Jr.
That's how rough it's been for the Rockets offensively. I mean, Smith has been maybe their best player of this whole series in terms of consistency, and he's not even starting, and he's playing, what, 28 minutes?
Yeah. I think it might actually still be Jalen Green just for, like, game two going for 38, like, being responsible for the win in the series, but yeah.
I mean, that's what I'm thinking about tonight. I get that Amen Thompson is the better player. But he's just been so shaky in this series. And I feel like at this point, you know, from game one, where he's tentative, game two, where he seemed to overcorrect and be a little too aggressive, and he has three fouls in a minute or in the first quarter. Third, which was not his fault, but the first two were dumb, I thought. And why not put Jabari Smith Jr. in the starting lineup? I mean, Smith handled it really well when you demoted him before. I feel like Amen Thompson would do the same situation. Would do the same in this situation here. Well, is he going to push back? Is he going to get mad about it? Smith's playing well enough to merit more minutes. And I think the Rockets have got to realize, hey, the things that we do well, we really have to go back to it. They got to play with size again, too. They have not really been playing with as much size this whole series as you would have thought just the way that game one went. Because in game one, they dominated on the size side of things. But, you know, 18 minutes for Steven Adams? I get that maybe the game at a certain point, you didn't think you were going to need him. But I don't know. I'm looking at the size that the Rockets have. It's the clear edge that they have on Golden State. Play the guys that have the size. Because this is the first game where the rebounding discrepancy, honestly, wasn't much of anything. In total, both teams had the same amount of defensive rebounds. And I think the only difference is that the Rockets had five more offensive rebounds, which still pretty significant margin. But you're getting all these offensive rebounds. Why not play to the strength that you have that the Warriors can't match up with? And it feels like they haven't done that in addition to, you know, not playing the biggest lineup at all times. They're just not playing the guy who's been playing the best in this series as much. And I'm seeing other people suggest, like, well, maybe a little Cam Whitmore. Hey, maybe a little Reed Shepard or something like that. And honestly, should that be off the table given how poorly this team is shooting? Udoka's gone to an eight-man rotation that feels like there's no room for change. There's no possibility for change. And I don't know. I think something needs to be done to shake it up. Like the same old, same old. Rocking out with the Thompson, Brooks, Şengün, Van Vliet, Jalen Green lineup, it's not working. So you got to do something, I think, a little bit different here. Because I think what we saw in game one and game three is really a true indictment of what the Rockets are offensively at this moment in time.
Yeah, I think Smith is the lever to pull. It's just like Jabari Smith 36 minutes instead of 26. I think that's the move more so than two guys that don't play in the regular season playing with your
right, yeah, yeah.
Playing a road game with your season basically on the line.
I don't want Cam Whitmore going hero mode on the road against Golden State, and I think that there would be a temptation to do that. And hey, it might work out.
I think there'd be a temptation for us. I don't think there's a temptation for Ime Udoka to put that guy in.
Right. Yeah, exactly. I don't think he's even thinking about it.
No. Udoka. No. I don't know who, because like Jae Sean Tate's listed as having a right ankle injury,
Mm-hmm.
And that's about the only guy that I, maybe Aaron Holiday, like the only two guys that I could see of the guys that they're not playing, realistically playing and making a positive impact on this team. Like, I just don't see a world where in game four of a playoff series, he goes, you know what? I know you've only played garbage time for the last 2 months. Reed Shepard, get in there.
Yeah, I don't see that happening either.
Hey, guard Steph Curry.
Todd the Show says Jabari isn't going to play 36 minutes. I don't expect him to, but I don't see why you say no to it. Yeah, why not? I mean, he's been really consistent. He has length that can't really be contested by anyone on Golden State.
Also, I just said 36 because he played 26. Like, yeah. I'm not actually saying like he has to play three quarters of the game.
He has to play 48 minutes.
Yeah.
I want him out there all 48.
Yeah, like the Lakers.
From the 8-3-2, Amen Thompson's still very raw offensively. He should not be shooting 16 times in a game. Well, if they're open, he should be shooting them.
Yeah, they're all paint shots.
Yeah, if he was chucking from outside and missing, yeah, I would agree with you here. But no, both Thompson and Şengün, like, keep taking those shots, but
make them.
Make it. Jesus. Make
them. That is like a little bit, and I think it gets overlooked in like playoff discourse, like from game to game in a series. But a lot of it is just like, hey, guys, this game, play better. Like, a lot of it is just, like, the play better adjustment of, hey, be more focused on defense. And, hey, you stopped them. Congratulations. And it's the, hey, make shots this time.
But when it's make easy shots.
That feels even easier. Because I'm not asking you to do something you can't do.
But how do you make, so it's an easy shot already. So it's not like you can make the shot easier.
Well, because some people just have bad days, Paul.
I get that.
Like you, sometimes.
Whoa. Interesting.
Arguably, you know. Arguably today.
You know what? Listen, we had jury duty this morning, okay? Cut me a little bit of slack. Sean Bates behind the glass. I'm Paul Gallant. It's the Paul Gallant Show. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776 to call, to text, on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975. If you want to weigh in on Rockets Warriors Game 4 tonight, stay put.
ESPN 97.5. It's the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Rockets and Warriors, Game 4 tonight in San Francisco. A 9 p.m. tip-off. The line for this game, Warriors by 3.5. The over-under, 203. Again. That's a tempting one. I've been saying go under every single game. Honestly, with the way that the Rockets offense has been looking, I feel like it's pretty easy to continue to go with that under. But most people, I think, are looking at what happened on Saturday, a game where the Warriors won without Jimmy Butler. And if Butler plays tonight, which is rumored to be happening, they're at full strength. Yeah, I think most people think that the Rockets are going to end up losing this one. So them down 3-1, that would probably ice it. As far as the draft for the Houston Texans, it is in the rearview mirror. The Texans brought in two wide receivers in the first three rounds from the same school, which is strange. Definitely a strange move. They have three Iowa State receivers on the roster. Also strange. When I think offense, I don't think Iowa State. I definitely don't think Iowa, but I also don't think Iowa State.
Yeah. And it's not like Xavier Hutchinson's like, you know, Jamar Chase out there.
Right.
Like, now, if you have Jamar Chase, Justin Jefferson, and you're like, LSU, just keep them coming.
Yeah.
I want more. That makes sense. But these guys, like, honestly, if these guys are going to be hits, at least for the 2025 Texans, like, they kind of have to play over Hutchinson.
I will say, though, the Texans, when they have drafted receivers, they've done pretty good. Hutchinson's been good.
Yeah.
For a sixth-round pick, Hutchinson's given you more than you would expect out of pretty much any sixth-round pick.
It's just that these guys are second and
right.
Fourth round.
Right. And that's one of the reasons that they brought him in is apparently Xavier Hutchinson, what he brings to the table, makes them trust Matt Campbell and his program so much that they didn't take just one, they took two. And the crazy thing is the comparisons for both Jaden Higgins and for Jalen Noel are Nico Collins and Tank Dell. That part to me made me laugh very hard. Now, what are the odds that a team in the Big 12 has two guys like that on their program? Zero. But
what? Tank Dell was on a Big 12 team.
I get that, but to have both of those guys in the same wide receiver draft class at an Iowa State team, zero.
It's like, okay, what that tells me is I should not draft a single other Iowa State player because how is this team not in the playoffs?
Exactly.
Like, if they had two NFL wide receivers.
If you're the quarterback of Iowa State right now, you
get a degree. Get that degree.
You know what? If you got the degree, good.
Get that degree.
But you might be needing to give back some of the NIL money that they gave you to play quarterback at Iowa State. And I'm sure whoever was under center. Do you know who it was off the top of your head?
Rocco Becht.
Yeah, okay.
He's like fine, you know? He's like a fine Big 12 quarterback.
I'm intrigued by these two. I think ultimately, for the Texans, what they're saying is, we can coach everybody up if they are of a mind that we trust.
Yes. If they went to Iowa State, USC apparently, Alabama, LSU.
They believe in
Ohio
you.
Ohio State.
Yeah.
They believe in you.
They believe in you.
If you didn't, tough.
They have a type. They're very specific about that type. To their credit, they have done a hell of a job coaching these guys up. I haven't seen much pushback to what the Texans did over the weekend. And, you know, of course, they also bring in Arianti Esery, the tackle from Minnesota, Ursary. I like these picks conceptually, just based off of reading them. It's tough to make projections. I am not expecting these guys to be day one contributors. And I think for some people, that's going to frustrate you. You're going to be looking at these guys because they are early. And you saw last year where they bring in Kamari Lassiter and Kalen Bullock in second and third round. And those guys were immediate contributors.
Yeah.
The odds are against it happening again. They could be good this season. They could. This is not me ruling it out. But I think ultimately when I'm looking at this draft class, I don't know that this is going to be day one contributors. And I'm very curious as to how people will be talking about these guys the first couple of months of the year. Because I trust D'Amico Ryans to get the most out of them. And I think that Nick Caserio's got a pretty damn good eye, especially when it comes to drafting receivers in the mid-rounds. John Mechie's the only one that you're like, oh, I don't know about. And I mean, Mechie had a torn ACL and cancer. So it's a lot to overcome.
That is two big hurdles.
Two big hurdles. One, I can see him getting over. Two, you know, it's so... And Mechie's probably gone, to be perfectly honest. You know, like, I don't know how he makes the team. If you take a look at the receiving group, they like Xavier Hutchinson a lot. You've just brought in a second and a third round pick. I guess Tank Dell is going to be on IR, but you have Christian Kirk and Nico Collins too.
Yeah, like, and you signed Berrios, who
Braxton Berrios.
Yeah, who cares?
And Justin
the other
Watson.
Guy.
Yeah.
Watson,
the exciting whites who are not so exciting.
Yeah,
honestly, I don't think they'll make the team either.
Yeah, no,
especially now.
Maybe Berrios as like the Steven Sims returner type.
Even then, though, because Jalen Noel, that's his job.
Like, that is true.
It's, and
that is why I think that one of these receivers, now, to me, flip a coin, I don't know. But I think one of these receivers will make, I don't know about like day one, like week one impact. But I mean, they're going to have the opportunity. And if you're taking Nick Caserio's, I guess, word, or you're trusting his evaluation, chances are one of these guys is going to be good as a rookie. Now, I'm not saying Kamari Lassiter like should have been a finalist for Rookie of the Year or the year before with Will Anderson and CJ Stroud. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that they should have a role on this team, whether it's Noel, as you know, they won't have Tank Dell, so he'll be that's a spot that's open to be new Tank Dell or Higgins working opposite of Collins.
20, 30, 40 catches, I'll take it. You know,
yeah.
That's, I think, a realistic expectation to go into the year with. And it's just going to be really difficult for back-to-back seasons where for the fifth time in 8 years, you didn't have a first-round pick. To have the middle rounds of the draft nailed every single year, like if these guys are contributors again, we're looking at Nick Caserio in an entirely different lens. We're looking at him like, oh my God, this guy is mid-round Jesus, you know? Because, no, but seriously, this was where Rick Smith could never get it done. Previous GM, you know, the GM for such a long period of time. Rick Smith always got the first round picks right. Every single first round pick he made was good. But the second and the third round picks, there were guys that he brought in, and you're like, okay. Well,
and it was like early. You could tell that these guys, like, not an NFL player.
Yeah, yeah.
That would be like a second round pick. That'd be who's the guard? Islander name?
Xavier Suofilo?
Yeah, Suofilo.
Yep.
Where you're just like, oh, okay, this guy doesn't belong.
Brennan Williams. Brennan Williams wanted to be like a wrestler, you know, and was really, really big into the WWE and some of the other stuff too. Again, not that that necessarily means you're going to be a bad player, but yeah, like
second Jalen Strong mentioned right here. Jalen
exactly.
Strong.
Good God. So where they've been, you've gotten a lot of contributions in the Nick Caserio era. I'm just not expecting it with these guys, and I'm curious as to how people are going to handle that. Specifically, the offensive line side of things. I do not know how much we even see of Ursary in year number one.
He could be on the Blake Fisher redshirt program where he's just going to be the third tackle. You know, he is good. They don't want to throw him into the fire. Or he could also be very much better than Cam Robinson and be your day one left tackle.
A lot of people, by the way, found a picture of
Ursary,
and it's the guy is a bold fashion, pusher of fashion. He's not this. You did not get your Tate Rutledge, you know, mullet and stash man. No,
where'd
you got to.
And they draft him.
You're available day two.
I'm gonna have Nick Caserio call into this show and be like, "You guys just keep bitching that you don't have Tate Rutledge. I got you two Iowa State receivers. You're over. Oh." He went to the Lions. This guy's going to be an all-pro.
Damn it. He's so Detroit.
And he's going to catch a touchdown. He's going to catch a touchdown pass and also, be awesome on the O-line.
Honestly, I would expect that. I'm not expecting immediate contributions from Ursary. I think, you know, it's just so hard for young offensive linemen to figure it out. Like Blake Fisher, when he finally came in at the end of this past season, was he good? No. It's going to be a competitive offensive line room, and I really do not know what to expect out of it except for this. The young players are going to be behind the eight ball at first, and your hope, and this is what the Texans are definitely patting themselves on the back for, is that we are better at coaching people up than you are. And, hey, the one area where we have not seen it is on the offensive line. So that goes to the new offensive coordinator, Nick Caley. That goes to the new offensive line coach, Nicole Popovich. But I think we should all be level-headed here. I'm just not looking for the kind of day one return on your investment for the young guys that you drafted over the weekend. I think that any big difference that's going to happen this coming season is because of the free agents you brought in. It's because of C.J. Gardner-Johnson at safety. It's because of Christian Kirk at wide receiver. And it's because some of this combination of offensive linemen, at least one of them is going to be okay. That's where the progress comes from. The rookies are cherries on top for this season. And that's a good place to be in. It is. And Caserio said that going into this draft. We think we're a pretty good team. He's not wrong. The problem is the execution, especially on the offensive line last year, rough. So we'll see what happens. If you want to weigh in on the Texans draft class, 713-780-3776 to call to text on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975. Very funny text as far as who's the best athlete in Houston, because I think Hunter Brown's definitely that guy right now. You can also weigh in on Rockets Warriors game 4 tonight. The Paul Gallant Show, most interactive sports talk show in town. Stay put.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Rockets Warriors game 4 tonight. I am curious as to what moment of bear poking will lead to a better, I guess, clap back. Will it be Jalen Green saying of Draymond Green after Saturday's Rockets loss against the Warriors that all Draymond Green can do is talk? Will that get more out of Draymond, or will Draymond telling Jalen Green to go paint your nails will that get more out of Jalen? Honestly, I feel like Draymond's probably got some trash talk left in the holster when it comes to Jalen Green, because the nail painting isn't even the worst piece of ammunition on the internet for Jalen Green, Josh Christopher. So I wonder if that gets another level out of Jalen Green. I hope it does. I hope it does, being told, hey, go paint your nails by Draymond. I got to say, if I'm saying who did more with their words, it's definitely Draymond Green saying, go paint your nails, as opposed to Jalen Green saying all he could do was talk. Oh, really? Well, he also won. He also won in that game, and you weren't aggressive. You stopped being as aggressive as you were the game before. I get it. People were collapsing on you. You were doing the right thing. But maybe you don't have to do the right thing. Maybe you got to be selfish. Maybe you got to be a crazy person out there and go full Dion Waiters irrational self-confidence for this coming game tonight.
Yeah, I mean, probably don't do that. But because, like, Jalen, you think we're being mean now? Like, go out there and shoot over double. Go 2 for 15 shooting over double teams.
I mean,
people will not be chill with that.
He will get crushed for that for sure. And I mean, that's what he was in game one, because he missed so many shots.
Yeah.
In game one,
he was, I think, 0 for 7 from three.
So yeah. I guess the real question with him is, do you want him to go completely aggressive, or do you want him to do the right thing and perhaps not have as much of an impact on the game as you're hoping? Again, had some of those guys made shots on Saturday, different conversation, because those were open shots that they were taking.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it kind of goes hand in hand where they can sell out to stop Jalen Green. He gives the ball up, and if you're not going to make them pay for doing that, if you're not going to actually finish that possession with points, you're not going to force them out of that defensive coverage that they're throwing at Jalen. There's also a possibility of just they threw it at him at game for game three, that with a day in between the games, coaching staff can come up with something to, like, okay, here's a counter for that. Because I mean, honestly, this is like the first time Jalen Green's getting like doubled by a playoff defense, by a defense that is game planning specifically for this, to stop you, and they're doing it with veterans that know what they're doing. They're doing it with, you know, Steph Curry, Draymond Green, even like Gary Payton. He's a great defensive player.
Yeah,
he's out
true.
There because he plays defense. So Pods is out there, and of course, you got to watch out for Pods. Thank God we haven't had the Pods game yet. That's going to be tough.
I will not be able to handle it.
21 points from Pods.
I mean, the fact that you're calling him this right now is actually making my blood boil. Does he deserve that nickname?
Yeah, I mean, it's better than calling Brandon Podziemski.
I think I've been saying something wrong every single time I've talked about him. I literally, every single time I see him, I have to go back and look to make sure I'm 100% remembering his last name correctly.
Pods, dude.
Pod is actually easier, but I don't want to give someone like that nickname. The Dylan Raiola cosplaying, I'm sorry, I can't do it. And yeah, I'm saying Dylan Raiola cosplaying. I'm not even saying Patrick Mahomes cosplaying. He looks like he's dressing up like Dylan Raiola dressing up as Patrick Mahomes. It's like a cartoonish version of it that's like slightly less kept with the hair and with the beard.
Yeah, I don't want that guy going off. But I think that it is just going to come down to like finding answers for, you know, one of these guys. Either it is Jalen Green, you know, figuring out how to get his Anthony Edwards on, how to get his, even, you know, just name a guy, Cade Cunningham in these playoffs. Like, Cade Cunningham hasn't had the 38-point game, but you know what he has done? Gone for 20 every time that the Knicks played the Pistons. Like, that is just something that you need Jalen Green to do, is to have some sort of basement on his performance.
If we're comparing the Rockets and Pistons, just to go with that right now, I mean, definitely for both of those teams, there are some interesting parallels, given how...
Yeah, 2021 draft.
Right.
This is their first year in here.
A Thompson twin.
A Thompson playing.
But with what you're saying with Cade Cunningham, and at the very least, the Pistons... In this series, the Pistons can point at the refs. The Pistons actually can point at the refs.
That non-call is crazy.
It's nuts. I mean,
I get that they're playing physical, but like, dude, come on.
How do you have bad calls in the last minute of a game, back-to-back games? Can't we, with the backcourt in game three, and then...
Oh, yeah, that wasn't really a backcourt. I think people blew it out. It wasn't really.
Well, I hit the Knicks, so that's probably why. And then you have the shot clock screw up and help the Pistons out almost.
Yeah, the shot clock and in general, like the just the overall, like how they're calling that game. It was crazy to watch. It was absolute nuts. And that last shot by Hardaway, he should have been at the line shooting three for that one. But I think that it's a little bit of like the Pistons get to play the Knicks or the Rockets have to play the Warriors. But I do think there is parallels where, you know, Cade Cunningham, on balance, has outplayed Jalen Green.
For sure.
I think that both Thompson twins have struggled. Mm-hmm. And the shooting has really been an issue for the Pistons, especially the last game. Both, you know, Hardaway and Malik Beasley both went like 3-for-10 or they're 3-for-12 or something. So I think that there is a little bit of both these teams are kind of getting hit in the face for the first time. And you're seeing how they respond. And both of them aren't, like, completely, like, dying on the court. Like, this isn't just no-show city where they're getting blown out by 25. Like, they're losing these tough games. And the hope is that you eventually, like, either learn how to win or, in the Rockets' case, you're showing the kind of blueprint. And like we talked about heading into the playoffs, like, you have clarity on what you have to do this offseason. Whether, you know, in the best-case scenario for this year, it was, hey, turns out both these guys are great. Turns out both Şengün and Jalen Green, like, they can go toe-to-toe with Steph Curry. Or it's what we've gotten, where it's kind of what we've seen in the regular season, where both these guys have been pretty inconsistent. Jalen, I guess, more so, just because higher peak, higher or lower floor.
I was thinking, if I were doing sports radio in Detroit, I think I'd be more mad about being down 3-1 to the Knicks than I'd be about what the Rockets did on Saturday. So I'm trying to find like little bits of positivity.
Oh, yeah.
Like losing to Karl Anthony Towns, if Karl Anthony Towns is balling, like would just absolutely kill me.
If Karl Towns gets to like, gets a tuck smack on you.
Yeah, because like at least, listen, you know, I might not like
Spike
Warriors
Lee's
fans.
At the game.
Yeah, Spike Lee, dude, I forgot. But at least I respect
the Warriors.
Draymond Green and the Warriors, and I like Steph Curry. I don't like Pop. But if it was the Knicks and like and the way Brunson plays and Karl Anthony Towns and his lack of like everything that I like, I would be having a tough time with this.
Okay, so would we be? And I think the other East series, like none of the losing teams should be upset.
Jason Tatum comes back.
Yeah, it's what'd you think? What'd you think was going to happen?
Yeah.
Magic. What'd you think was going to happen? Heat. Sorry, dude. Sorry, Bucks. That thing's over. I don't know what to tell you.
Mm-hmm.
You kind of got the worst case scenario. Clippers Nuggets. I don't think either. Like it's obviously the closest series. It's the series that's like both the games are super close and it's being played at a high level. Do you think that you'd be more or less upset right now if you're doing LA Lakers?
Oh, Lakers, a meltdown.
Okay.
Lakers, that would be where I'm at my worst.
Okay.
Because I would be just killing Luka and calling him fat. And then on top of it, like LeBron washed because he's getting pushed around by Anthony Edwards.
0 points in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
I think that's watching the games yesterday and then the Rockets game last night. Like that, I think that's the right order of how upset. Actually, maybe Pistons won just because, like, you really got screwed, guys. Like you, and it went from 2-2 series. You're still in it to now like 3-1. Down 3-1, going back to New York. Like,
at least it's out of your control there.
That is true. You have someone to blame that's not on the team,
right? Because then you could still feel a little optimism going forward. Also, it's the Knicks. You think that series is done? I don't.
Oh,
it's the Knicks. It's the Knicks. They'll find a way. They'll find a way to make it'll at least go to six.
I was gonna say. So you think at least we're getting another game in Detroit?
I think so. I think at least one more.
Game. Anything can happen in Game 7.
You throw out the record to Game 7.
Exactly.
That's what they always say.
Exactly. Yeah. I think Lakers. I mean, it's more second guessing of JJ Redick at the very least. He didn't make a sub in the last.
He's Pat Riley 2.0 because he yelled at the Lakers in Game 2, right? He's Pat Riley 2.0. He's Pat Riley. It wasn't that.
Actually, I think you would be excited doing radio in LA. just because you get to do this.
Yeah.
You get to
just be sarcastic.
You get to be victory laps.
I would be taking a victory lap over being right about the local team being wrong. This would be vintage me talking about the Harden Rockets back in 15. Sean Mays behind the glass. I'm Paul Gallant. 713-780-3776 to call into text. And you want to weigh in on the Rockets, their big game tonight against the Warriors, game four, you can also talk about what the Texans did and didn't do in their draft class and choose your own adventure for garbage time. More Shador Sanders takes? More Eagles not going to the White House takes? Or another topic of conversation over the weekend that people spent way too much time on? What was that? You'll hear it on the other side. Stay put.
Subscribe to ESPN Houston for free on YouTube. Locked in with the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Last chance to dance, the Paul Gallant Show with Sean Mapes behind the glass. 713-780-3776 to call and to text it. Some people from the 832 are pushing back on Sean Mapes calling Brandon Pozinski Pod.
Pods.
Pods.
Because that's the first four letters of it.
Okay, it's good that we have the spelling out there as well. For the 832, don't give that broccoli-haired white boy a nickname, says Huey in Spring.
I didn't give it to him.
It just is.
That is his nickname.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll put some respect on, or I guess take away respect.
Take away respect from Pod.
Pajimski's name.
Yeah, old Pods.
Okay. Pod. But if the Warriors win, I have to just call him Pod. Actually, we'll probably never talk about him again, but still.
Yeah, probably not. And then next year, if the Rockets play the Warriors in the playoffs, we'll be like, who's this guy? He's not good. Because he probably will have changed his look.
Yeah, he cuts his hair.
Because everyone's probably telling him at this moment in time, it's not the best look. But hey, if you're winning, you're winning. And the Warriors do have a 2-1 series lead on the Rockets. That game number four tonight at 9. Ugh, I'm so tired of these late games. I'm tired. I got up early to go do jury duty. Jury duty is, listen, I'm never going to opt out. I just want to be selected. If I'm going to go all the way down there and sit around, I don't want to go in there knowing I'm not going to be selected.
Yeah.
That's what sucks the most. It's like, I know I'm not going to get picked.
You need a guaranteed spot.
Yeah.
Because I feel like you would enjoy being on a jury. I was going to say you'd be a good juror. I'm actually not sure you'd be a great juror.
Just that hurt my feelings more than...
just the ADHD of it all. You really got to lock in for a long time.
Yeah.
It's a lot of details.
Damn. That's only the second most hurtful thing that you've said on today's show.
What?
It's a fair comment earlier. It's one of those things where getting up early to get there,
yeah.
Trying to be presentable, then realizing you don't even need to be presentable, and then you just sit there, and they give you one ticket for coffee. You can't get a refill. So, me, caffeine addict, screwed in that spot.
Also, what are we doing, guys? People can't have two cups of coffee?
That's the implication that I got. That's the implication that I got.
And you said that they don't feed you.
No, they don't. I mean, you can buy food, but it's basically all they have are overpriced granola bars and stuff. So you sit there for a while, and I've always wanted to be a part of it, and I'm just tired of constantly being on the waiting list. That's all I've ever been on. Mm-hmm. At a certain point, get me on the jury. Watch that happen. The next thing I know, I become a viral jerk because I'm on an O.J. Simpson SK.
Yeah, and you're picking your nose or something.
Exactly,
and...
right.
Oh, wait, no cameras. Here we go.
Jeez, you've been mean today. These have all been funny.
I was just thinking of what could make a juror go famous other than...
Yeah, it would be that.
Or you just obviously being asleep during the trial.
But I could stay awake during the trial, I think. The big issue that Sean is pointing out, though, for those who watch along on the YouTube and on the Twitch, I constantly pick up my nose.
I was just thinking of just a thing that you could do that's in a picture. I didn't think you actually...
That would be in the picture. That would be in the picture because it's constantly... I'll watch back when I post clips online to the YouTube channel and stuff, and then I'll look at myself and I'm like, Paul, you look like you're doing drugs. You need to stop scratching your nose. Anyway. garbage time. There are three topics. Choose your own adventure. Check that. Choose the Paul Gallant adventure on the Paul Gallant Show, the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. You have these three topics before we toss the garbage time. Number one, Shedeur Sanders takes. Two, not all the Eagles are going to the White House takes. Three, who'd win, 100 men or one gorilla? Because this is the internet today, April 28th, 2025. Give me some garbage time.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
Shout out on the text line, by the way. We're talking best athlete in Houston a little bit earlier. One texter said, my vote for best athlete in Houston is Cinnamon from this establishment in the north side. She climbed a pole, swung from the ceiling, and swung around the pole again. Pretty athletic. I think that we should recognize strippers and dancers as athletes. I also think we should recognize porn stars as athletes. The ones who are exceptionally talented in what they do. I mean, it requires athleticism. It requires flexibility. All of those things. So a shout out to the athletes that we never talk about. The stripper, working 40-hour weeks for a living. The same for the porn star, working 40-hour weeks for a living.
They are athletic.
They are athletic.
They are athletic.
You know?
From what I've heard. From what I've heard.
Exactly. From what I've heard, I would never, ever watch something such as that. This is a family show, after all. RiseHealth.com. R-I-I-Z-E Health.com. Promo code 975 for the rapid... Handsome strips. Anyway, I want to talk about 100 men versus one gorilla.
Thank you.
How did this become a topic? Because obviously, the men are killing the gorilla. 100 versus one? And I understand the way that it was rationalized. A gorilla can lift 1,796 pounds. While an athletic human can lift up to 881 pounds. That's honestly surprising.
Yeah.
881?
Is that like the world record for, I don't even know.
Yeah, that's the guy who's
for like the
mountain.
Squat.
That's the mountain who's also like a bodybuilder.
Yeah.
That guy. It's like Hof Bjornsberg or something, something like that. So if you get punched by a gorilla, probably an immediate concussion. And gorillas have the fifth most powerful bite in the animal kingdom, measured at 1,300 PSI. Damn. That's like hippos. That's actually crazy. But still, 100 versus 1. Come on.
Yeah. I mean, it's as simple as the gorilla needs to win 100 times.
Yeah.
We only need to win once.
And it's not like we're just sending all these humans up in a row to go
Hinchman
up against
style.
The gorilla.
Yeah.
No, everyone is descending. It takes on swarm. Houston Texans swarm mentality on the gorilla. All the humans have to swarm the gorilla right away. It's over. It is over. If we're doing 100 versus 1, it's over.
Okay. You said the Houston Texans. Now I have to ask.
Yeah?
How many Houston Texans would it take? 11?
The
starting 11 defense?
I'm throwing out the quarterbacks. No offense, CJ Stroud.
Okay.
I am throwing out the long snapper who was never replacing John Weeks.
Okay. Still haven't counted out Fairbairn. I like Fairbairn's chances.
Kicker's out.
Oh, okay.
Kicker's out. Punter's out.
Ah, Tommy Townsend.
Tommy Townsend's
out as well.
The
championship DNA.
Nope, can't do it. I like all the defensive linemen for the Texans in this. I don't know how I feel about the offensive linemen. I think a lot of the offensive linemen are going down. Nico Collins?
They're siege one. They are
the offensive linemen?
Yes.
Wave one is the Texans' offensive
linemen. Wear them down.
Just wear them down.
You guys are going to lose. Just make them work for it.
And if anyone survives, guess what? You're a starting offensive lineman next year.
There we go.
That's the incentive to be
there
the first
Ed
wave.
Ingram, congratulations. You survived.
Lincoln Robinson, hooray.
There's no one else alive to compete for your spot.
I'm not putting any of the tight ends in the room.
No,
No Brevin Jordan.
Yeah.
Brevin Jordan's the exception, but he's injured, so I don't know. You know?
No.
Nico Collins, I actually feel like Nico Collins might be the guy who gives us the biggest chance. Because he's...
Oh, really?
The longest. The range.
Oh, yeah.
And you put him and Jaden Higgins in there? Boom!
See, I was thinking Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson. Those are our closers. Because, again, you're going to have to come at this in waves. And you're going to lose a lot on the way.
Mm-hmm.
But I think when it needs to happen, when the final shot needs to be made, I think it comes down to Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson Jr.
Ooh, yeah.
I think they're... Or into Nico Autry. Those are the guys I'm riding with.
Danielle Hunter's biceps, dude. That's 100% the great equalizer here. Someone texted in, grab rocks and a stick. No, no, no. We're playing fair.
Yeah, we're doing no weapons.
No weapons.
No weapons. No weapons for us. No weapons for the gorilla.
Call us Ray Lewis. No weapon. No weapon. Which is ironic given that one time. But hey, no weapon. But I still feel like 100 versus 1, that this was an internet debate, boggles my mind. But guess what? This internet also had Shador Sanders being blackballed conversations all weekend long and are currently having all sorts of conversations about whether or not the Eagles should be meeting with the president. It's been that kind of a show. We'll see what the Rockets do tonight. We'll be talking about it on tomorrow's show. Keep an eye out for a very late night live stream after said game. Wonder how that one will go.
Careful.
We will be careful. Also, big thanks to everyone who listened today, for our texters, tweeters, callers, Twitchers, YouTubers, and everyone else who listens. And Sean Mace behind the glass. I am merely Paul Gallant. So long, farewell. Have yourselves a wonderful Monday. The Killer Bees are next. Peace!
ESPN 97.5.